While reporting my story for today on teacher pay, I met Sarah Casey, a fourth grade teacher who is working two jobs this summer to supplement her income. With only a few years of experience, she doesn't make much, and she's getting married soon, so she needs all the extra money that she can get. Many teachers work summer jobs unrelated to school, and 30% work second jobs during the school year to get by. Despite some raises, teachers had more buying power in 2017 than they do today, according to the National Education Association. Sarah plans to be a teacher for her entire career. If the pattern holds, she may also be working outside of a classroom for the duration. It's Wednesday, June 24th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. The Supreme Court ruled that a man can't sue a prison for shaving his head. A Louisiana prisoner cannot sue prison officials for violating his religious freedom, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on Tuesday. In a 6-3 decision, the justices held that a Rastafari inmate cannot sue Louisiana prison guards after they forcibly shaved his head. The prisoner, Damon Landor, sued several individual guards under a federal law requiring state prison systems that accept federal funds to provide extra protection for inmates' religious exercise. The officials are only liable under the law if they voluntarily and knowingly consent to answer such lawsuits, which in this case they did not, the High Court decided. The Trump administration announced a boost for nuclear power. In its latest effort to encourage development of nuclear power plants, the administration unveiled a $17.5 billion federal loan program on Tuesday. The U.S. Department of Energy's American Nuclear Supply Chain Loans plan to help energy companies buy the expensive parts needed to build up to 10 new large nuclear reactors, accelerating the timeline up to 3 years. These loans built on President Trump's executive order last year to expedite and promote the production of nuclear energy in the U.S., with 10 new reactors under construction by 2030. Also, global confidence in the U.S. as a reliable partner has plummeted. A new 36-country survey by the Pew Research Center found steep declines in perceptions of the United States as a global leader and stable model democracy. Marked by strong international rejection of President Donald Trump, the survey shows particularly sharp drops in positive views among traditional allies such as Canada. The share of Germans considering the U.S. a reliable partner fell from 83% 4 years ago to 39% today. Mr. Trump received his highest ratings in the Philippines, Israel, and Nigeria, and the lowest in Mexico, Sweden, Turkey, and the occupied West Bank. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. As Israelis prepare for fall elections, Gadi Eisenkot is surging in polls to edge out Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The retired general's security credentials and perceived integrity appear to resonate with voters exhausted by war and division. Shoshana Solomon and Dina Kraft report from Tel Aviv, Israel, and Washington for The Monitor. Wealthier nations in Asia have seen their average birth rates fall dramatically over time. Now, middle-income Asian countries are seeing the birth rate drop as well. Contributor Patrick Nguyen reports from Bangkok for The Monitor. Both Republicans and Democrats have been enacting state-level bans on using SNAP benefits for soda and candy. On Monday, a federal judge said the new rules violate federal laws governing the food program. Story Hankley reports for The Monitor. Teachers who are seeing inflation consume recent salary gains are turning to jobs outside the classroom to supplement their pay. The largest teachers union says that when inflation is factored in, public school teachers are making less than they did a decade ago. I Reporter, report from Baltimore for the Monitor. In a world overwhelmed by cell phones, laptops, and other screens, there is a growing space for the old school and analog, from landline phones to Walkmans and typewriters. Mackenzie Farkas, Victoria Hoffman, and Melanie Stetson Freeman report for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on how out of war there are new alliances for stability. The off-again, on-again hostilities and opening of the Strait of Hormuz are prompting more creative and proactive thinking about global diplomacy and global markets. Governments are using the lulls to rev up stalled economic activities. And the key fossil fuel producing nations of the Gulf are working quickly to establish alternative infrastructures of cooperation, as well as of concrete and steel. Already, Iraq, which has had tense relations with Syria for years, has been exporting its oil overland via tanker trucks to Syrian ports. And many Gulf states have pivoted to importing tons of timber, cement, and agricultural and consumer goods through those same ports. There are efforts to collaborate on new pipelines, storage facilities, and even a multi-country rail project. As the Monitor reported last week, these moves are already reshaping regional trade and cementing new Mideast alliances among countries such as Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Jordan, and Syria. Diplomacy and deal-making are gradually replacing decades of sectarian differences and political power plays as Arab nations, small and large, reconfigure their regional role and relationships. This process, according to Chatham House, the London-based think tank, could ultimately lead to a unified, proactive Gulf architecture that reduces vulnerability to the decisions of other nations. Other analysts view this moment in the aftermath of the war launched by the United States and Israel on Iran and its spillover attacks in the Gulf as an opportunity to establish a Westphalia-type compact. The 1648 Peace of Westphalia, which ended decades of war among Spanish, Dutch, and German rulers, established lasting norms around national sovereignty, balance of power, and interstate alliances. Like Europe did, the Middle East today is realizing it can help prevent conflict through its own internal alliances, according to War on the Rocks, an online platform focused on defense and foreign affairs. The alignments we witness today are the region's effort to find its own center of gravity. Amid ongoing and uncertain global realignments, any moves toward greater regional stability and interconnectedness offer hope for economic and peace dividends. In April, the International Monetary Fund, also known as the IMF, estimated that if the ceasefire holds, the war in the Gulf will reduce global growth rates only slightly from an expected 3.4% to 3.1%. On the plus side, it cited new trade partnerships, regional agreements, and a greater impetus for renewables in import-dependent nations as a way to improve energy security and support the climate transition. Or, as the World Economic Forum put it this month, the conflict has catalyzed a profound shift in how we conceive of the energy transition. What was once framed primarily as a climate imperative is now equally a matter of strategic sovereignty. Refreshed views of international relations, as well as natural and national resources, can spur diplomatic and technical innovations that help avert or better navigate future conflicts. While the world might become more multipolar, it need not become more fragmented, according to the IMF. In fact, as the eight-decade-old institution points out, the IMF itself was forged in the aftermath of war and great destruction to advance economic and financial cooperation and integration for the benefit of all. Today, those principles are more vital than ever. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcast. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how it's a significant shift to expand our prayers beyond ourselves and know that everyone is embraced by God. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt, Mackenzie Farkas, and Emily Staunton.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.